Good morning. It is Sunday, October the 13th, and this is Ask the Mayor. I'm Chris Duffy, joined as always by Mayor Patrick Taylor. And Mayor Taylor, there's been an issue that's kind of bubbled up with our looming election, and no pun intended with bubbled up.
I got
but,
you.
But some folks have raised concerns about the town's water supply. I understand you want to address those concerns.
That's right. And I'm trying to keep out of the issues of the election. You know, it's up to the candidates and the voters to, you know, go through that process, and a decision will be made on election day, November the 5th. So I don't want to get involved in all the issues, except this week after an issue was raised about the quality of our water supply was brought up, I've been getting calls from a number of people who are alarmed and concerned about our water and whether it's been, you know, downgraded or degraded. And I want to just address this. Our water department is a state-certified water laboratory. We constantly monitor our water as we are making it. We submit to all required water tests that the state requires, and they review the results, and we publish it in the newspaper periodically. So I want to assure people our water supply is excellent. It has not changed over the years that I've been mayor, and we have a very good water system, and I just wanted to clarify that. You don't have to worry about our water situation. We are very conscientious in making sure that we provide the best water possible for the residents in Highlands. So I just wanted to clarify that.
Well, good to know that. On the issue of safety, I know you and the town engineer and some staff from the state were in discussions this week about some road safety issues around town.
Yes, some folks might have seen a group of folks with clipboards and cameras and so forth at certain intersections here in town. And that was, I was there. It was Brian Steeler, our commissioner, was also a part of that group. He was driving us around. Lamar Nix, our town engineer, was there. And also Brian Birch, the Division 14 engineer, plus Andy Russell, our district engineer, was also a part of the group, and we were going to different locations here in Highlands to address some of the critical issues. For example, I know Commissioner Steeler had a lot of constituents express concern about Arnold Road near the country club. There's a kind of a blind curve there where people pull out. Recently, we had an accident there, and we were consulting with the DOT people to see what can be done to improve the safety at that intersection. And there's some things that can be done. We'll have to process those and come up with a decision. It's not just the state. It's not just the town. It involves a lot of different stakeholders that rely on that access to Arnold Road and coming out onto 64. So that was one place that we visited. We went to Little Bear Pen to look at the issue of the intersection there and possibly some warning devices to let residents know that somebody's coming around the curve on 64. We went to Big Bear Pen and looked at the condition of that road and how we can address some of the erosion issues there. That is a state road. We also went to the famous, I call it kind of spaghetti intersection on 28 South Street and Satula, where it all comes together, and sometimes people are confused on what they should be doing, whether they should yield, stop, or proceed on that very confusing intersection. And we discussed with the state how we can maybe simplify and improve that intersection. So there were a number of places that we visited, and at the town board meeting, which is on Thursday night, I'll be presenting along with Commissioner Steeler and our engineer, Lamar Nix. We'll be doing a presentation on everything that we covered and discussed at that meeting, so the full board and the public can understand where we are on some of those issues. And also, everyone will have to realize we can't correct these kind of problems overnight. We have to deal with, you know, different groups, design issues, and also that always problematic funding of those kind of projects. So if anyone would like to kind of get a full update about what we discussed and so forth, just come to the town board meeting at 7 o'clock this Thursday night at the Conference Center.
I understand. Another reason to come to this week's town board meeting is that there'll be a special guest doing a presentation on being bear wise.
That is correct. Justin McFay, who is with the North Carolina Wildlife Department, will be our guest, and he'll be talking about the steps and the issues of becoming a bear wise community. Also, we'll have Cynthia Strain of the Bear Task Force there to give us an update on what they've been doing to make us a bear wise community. And to be quite frank, with the deployment of the commercial bear-resistant toters, the street cans, and also the plan for everyone to be using a bear-resistant toter in the residential areas by next August, we're at a point where we can qualify as the first bear-wise community in this area. So Justin will be joining us to give us his advice and information, and I think that we will be able to move very quickly in adopting this program.
Well, Mr. Mayor, I don't know that they will have anything to present at this upcoming meeting, but I do know that the Land Use Committee has been hard at work this past week looking at the issue of short-term rental programs. We're talking VRBO, Airbnb. How has that progressed with them?
Well, it was a good meeting. It was so interesting before the meeting, which was held, I believe, on Wednesday, people were asking me, well, Mayor, are you going to be at this meeting? My response is absolutely not. And the reason is, it is a meeting of town board commissioners and staff. And, you know, I might have requested that they look at the issue, but, you know, my feeling is that they need to have the freedom without me being there to process the information and come up with, you know, possible, you know, solutions and recommendations to the entire board. So I don't need to be there at these meetings. But the feedback I got from some of the staff and commissioners who were in attendance were business people. And my information is it basically was kind of an initial listening session, and the folks that were attending there expressed their views. Coupled with that, you know, at our last board meeting, we had a period blocked off where people could come and make public comment about this issue. And I think that's very important, because our goal is to be, in all issues, you know, open and transparent in what we're doing. And I think we meet those goals in many of the things that we do. So we've had a lot of now comments from the public about this issue. And at our next meeting of that committee, I think they're going to have to get down to work, to working with the staff in formulating a policy. And that means that we have to kind of dial back the public input. We're welcoming the public to come and hear the discussion and so forth, but it's going to get to a point where the committee itself has to simply work with the staff and come up with a recommendation. After that is done, it will go to the town board. It will involve a review by the planning board also, and then we'll have a public hearing. So public input has not come to an end. It's just that we're kind of in a middle period where now a proposed policy needs to be developed, and then we will continue to review that policy before anything is adopted. I know one of the commissioners who was there, Commissioner Calloway, was indicating that it's going to take some time for this final approval of any kind of proposal to go into effect. It's not going to be something that's going to be happening at the next board meeting, for example. It's going to take some time and deliberation to make sure that we get everything right on this critical issue.
Well, Mr. Mayor, healthcare is an ever-present concern here on the Plateau, and today you've brought a guest along who is part of a movement to bring a, well, new, I guess, vehicle for healthcare here in the Highlands and Cashers area.
That's correct, Chris, and I'm pleased to have as our guest today Paul Robshaw, who is the leader of Vision Cashers, which is a very dynamic group trying to improve, you know, the community life here on the Plateau, and he does have a very exciting new program that will help address some of the concerns people have about access to health care here on the Plateau. So let me just turn it over to you and Paul and ask the questions.
Well, Paul, I know a little bit about this program. It is heavily technology-based, and from what I understand, is a great way to extend health care to folks at a surprisingly low cost.
Yes, Chris, it really is, and thank you for having me today, and Mr. Mayor, I appreciate it. We have contracted with an organization, and when I say we, it is Vision Cashers, a volunteer organization that we formed a couple years ago to really improve the lives of people on the plateau. And one of the things we found was an organization called Healthiest You that is owned by an organization called Teladoc. And we contracted with Healthiest You to be able to have a virtual care system to be able to take care of people in, I'll call it, non-emergency situations. They can talk on the phone. If they have a phone with a camera, they can actually see a doctor, talk with the doctor. The doctor can see them and it can help diagnose what's going wrong with their physical condition. And this applies not just to the individual, but to the individual's entire family, up to 7 children in a household.
And I understand Vision Cashers has kind of negotiated a package with this. And what is the cost to get this for, I think it's a year subscription?
Yes, it's a year-long period that we have negotiated a contract price for $100 a family. So it is unlimited access to a physician on the phone for $100 a year, and it covers all the children, husband and wife, whoever is living in the home. What we have found, strong reception to this so far by people who say, well, what about my children who aren't living in the home, who happen to have families of their own? And this program enables us to sign up anybody in the country through Vision Cashers, our entity called Health Access. And so anybody could sign up their children to be able to be a beneficiary of the entire service. So in reality, you could have a child with children in Denver, Colorado, and they could be signed up through Health Access here and be able to get access to a board-certified physician in Colorado who would be able to help them deal with whatever the non-emergency situation is. If it happened to be an emergency, the doctor on the phone would say, you need to get to the emergency room right away. This is not something you want to fool with. But if it's a non-emergent situation, the doctor can actually diagnose and prescribe a prescription to deal with the situation.
And you say it's $100 per family per year, but there must be a charge for each call, right?
There's no charge for each call. In fact, where this really saves an individual who might go into a clinic or into an emergency room, most healthcare programs have a deductible. And so I was talking with one subscriber the other day who said, every time I take my child to get treated, it costs me $175 until I get to the $2,000 deductible. This doesn't cost them anything. It's all inclusive in the $100. So if there is a situation where there is a need to really see a doctor in person, they would be, the doctor on the phone would say, you really do need to see your doctor. Subscribers who actually have this have populated a database of information that would identify who their doctor is, what their prescriptions are, what their medical history is. So it's all in the Healthiest You database. So the physician on the phone is able to have a lot of information about the person calling.
And so because this is available 24 hours a day, obviously it probably would take some pressure off emergency rooms where people might go when they can't see their primary care physician during regular office hours. Is there any data on how that kind of unburdens emergency rooms?
Yeah, Healthiest You actually does have data on this, and it reduces the volume going into emergency rooms by 70%. So it's just a huge benefit to hospitals not to have the volume of treatment, which generally is either dealt with by Medicaid or Medicare, and the hospitals actually lose money on those cases. Mm-hmm. So we're helping the hospitals, and think we're sending Healthy As You is sending patients to a physician and not really wasting a physician's time if it's a non-emergent situation.
Well, it sounds like an amazing program, and certainly one that we could use in this area. How does one sign up for that if they're interested?
Yeah, all they have to do really is to go to the Vision Cashers website. It's visioncashers.com, and there is an easy button to push there to be able to get access to sign up. The beginning sign-up period between now and the 1st of November really just reserves a place in the program for the individual who's signing up, for the family who's signing up. They pay $100, which is fully refundable until November 1st, and then on November 1st, the program goes live. So after November 1st, the individual who signed up would get an email from Healthiest You saying, okay, now you need to populate your data for your family. And you go in, I've done that, you register all of your information, all of your spouse's information, all of your children's information, so that they have the data that if you ever call, that doctor is looking at that instantly.
Well, for information and to sign up, go to visioncashers.com. Paul Robshaw, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Chris.
And on that note, we will wrap up this episode of Ask the Mayor. I thank Mayor Patrick Taylor and Paul Robshaw from Vision Cashers for joining us this morning, and we all wish you a pleasant Sunday.